I started to become kind of isolated, and that's not me. If I'm not around people, you know, talking, and just doing fellowship with other people, I become, like, at the beginning of this year, I became so isolated that I started to, like, just begin to hear what the devil was telling me, which was, you're not worth anything. Nobody likes you. You have absolutely no place on this earth. And it was so sad and so depressing, and it made me hate myself, like, absolutely hate myself. And I'm not the typical type of person to be quiet or to hate myself or to not be typically happy. And that was just not okay for me. But anyways, so leading up to Motion, about a month ago, I had some thoughts that were not supposed to be in my life, that I know absolutely that it wasn't God, that it was the complete opposite of what God wanted me to do. And then at Motion, I think it was Friday, I'm pretty sure it was the night service, I wish I could remember the songs that were going on, but I was just, like, so in my head, so like, just praying, and I was praying, God, just release me from this hold that the devil has on my heart. And I know that if we tell the devil in Jesus' name, you flee, he has to flee, and I know that for sure. So that's why I was praying, and I was praying hard, and then all of a sudden, like, I just hit the floor. I just completely just, like, I don't know, like, I didn't have any control over it. My knees just, like, hit the floor, and I just, as soon as my knees started hitting the floor, I just started bawling like a baby. And so, yeah, I was just sitting there, and I was just praising, and I just really felt God tell me that I am worth everything. There's nothing on this earth that couldn't use me on it. I don't think that made sense. There's nothing on there. This earth would not be better without me. This earth would not. People would notice if I was gone. People would notice if I just disappeared. And he told me that. How dare you say that you're worth nothing whenever I sat there, or whenever I hung on that cross and I died for you. And I literally bled from every single part of my body for you. And you say that that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to tell you that you're worth everything. So I was telling, but yeah, I just continued to sit on the floor. I was on the floor for like 20 minutes. My legs literally fell asleep. I could not get up. I could not move. Thank God I had Josh there to help me get up. Praise God for people that God places in your life, people that are here for you. And over the, excuse me, sorry, my voice is gone along with this weekend and because I'm a baby. So thank God for God placing people in your life. I've gone to this church for 10 years. Actually, just up until a few years ago, I came only just to come. I just came to check out the church card, and I didn't really, like, get close to anybody, and this weekend really showed me that God placed people in my life who are here to guide me, who are here to help me, people who are here for every single piece of my hurt. And so Friday night, we were just sitting, we were doing a debriefing of Motion, and we were just, like, kind of sharing what we learned that night, and that was my night. Like, I feel like everyone has their moment at Motion. That night was my moment, so I felt like it was time to share it. I was just telling them about how I was feeling, how I felt like this world would be better without me, how I felt like if I had, how I felt like if I was gone, nobody would care, that I was worthless, and then, like, one thing is that everyone was crying with me, and that just really shows that people care, that we care about each other, that we're here for each other, and that God placed us in each other's lives. So, with that, I encourage you to, One, you are worth absolutely everything. God laid on, or he hung, excuse me, on that cross, and he gave us everything. And how dare we say for one moment that that wasn't worth, that that wasn't enough, that that wasn't, oh. And point number two, people, invest in your church. And I've learned that a lot these past few years, and especially this weekend. Invest in your church. Invest in the people at your church. People love you. People are here, do love you. And people, God places people in your life for a reason. And I know that my life has changed because of them, because of him, because of them. Everyone who went this weekend, my life has changed, and everyone who encouraged me. I do want to say one thing, because it was hilarious. But while I was, like, bawling my eyes out, I was just saying, like, I know I'm usually a loud person, so that's why I didn't go to anybody. I'm, like, usually a, I'm very talkative. I'm usually, like, a happy person. I'm usually loud, like, get kicked out of the hotel loud. And then, like, I was just telling them that, like, I said exactly that. Like, I know that I'm a loud person, and I was just afraid that, especially because having the role that I do, I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. I felt like I couldn't tell people because I felt like it would decrease my value in the leadership role that I have. And then after that, Thomas came up to me. He said, "Come here, you loudmouth heifer. Give me a hug." I love you, Thomas. Thank you for that. I love you, Thomas. Thank you for that. It definitely put a smile on my face. But I love you guys. I love every single one of you in the church. And thank you all for being here for me, for turning my life upside down, out completely upside down. And thank you, Cam and Gentry, for always being here, for loving us through it all, and for always offering advice. We love you both. And okay, let me get off stage because I'm talking a lot.
Praise God. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. Y'all, next up, we're gonna jump right into it. We got Mr. Sam. He had a socks blowed off. He was sharing it with me last night, and y'all are in for a treat hearing the story. And Jensen, get ready. You're going next. Come on with us, Sam.
Morning. Sorry if I'm looking at my phone. I wrote everything down because last time I was up here talking in front of everybody, it was for 5 or 5, and I got done in 2.5 minutes because I got up here and forgot everything I was going to say. So this year at Motion, I feel like it was one of the best years I've ever had. God really laid two just huge things on my heart this year. The first one was just about relationships. Since I got out of my senior year, like, I started fixating myself on relationships and the fact that I wasn't in one. And like, I really, like, my self-image, like, I saw myself as less because I wasn't in one. Like, I always told myself, you know, like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't anybody like me? And this year, Motion, Jesus just laid on my heart, like, that's not right. That's not right at all. I don't need a relationship to be whole and complete and lacking nothing. I already am whole, complete, and lacking nothing. He spoke to me, like, he told me, I don't need to look for a relationship. The only one I need to have a relationship with is Jesus. I need to run straight on my path towards Jesus. I need to seek him out above everything else. There's a song we did. It's called Nothing Else. And part of the song, it just says, I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And that just really spoke to me, like, you know, I don't want or need a relationship. I just need Jesus. And, like, I can't expect somebody to run along the path towards Jesus with me when I'm not running along that path myself. Like, I shared with the group a was Thursday night. Like, I'm one of the most lukewarm people I know. Like, on Sundays, I get up here and I play the Christian role, and then throughout the week, I don't. You know, like, I completely changed throughout the week, and it's like, you know, I can't be doing that and expect God to bring somebody into my life to run that race with me. So I need to focus on myself and the path that I'm running on before I focus on having a relationship. And the other point, the other thing that God laid on my heart this year was my family. I'm the only one in my family that really goes to church. My mom was coming along with me for a little bit, but I've mainly been focusing on my sister, trying to get her to come. You know, she's had a pretty rough life. I won't really get into it, but she deals pretty heavily with depression and anxiety, and you know, she talks to me sometimes, like, just about some of the things that, you know, she goes through and some of the things that she thinks. And it's like, I don't really know how to deal with that. I don't really know how to help her except to get her in church. And every time I invite her to church, it's like, there's always something going on. Gosh. And so I've been trying to get her to come for a while, and here lately I just started to give up, like, you know, this isn't working. And one of the songs that they did Emotion, it's called Do It Again. It says, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. And like that, I'm not a very emotional person. I don't really cry that much, but when I say I was bawling like a baby, it was crazy. God really renewed that faith in me that all things are possible. Like, my sister's not too far gone. I can still reach her and get her to come to church and to get saved. And not even that, there's another song we did called Beyond. It says, beyond what we see, beyond what we know. And I see her life. I know how she's feeling because she talks to me about that stuff. And it's like, I see that and I know that. And I can't do anything about that, but God has brought me beyond that. Instead of focusing on what I see and know about her, I focus on the fact that it doesn't matter. It's not bigger than Jesus. So our last worship session, Saturday night, I was sitting there, and it was Mark Pettis, I think. He was talking about how the arena, it's going to get torn down this year. They're going to rebuild it. And he was saying how they're doing that because it's not big enough. Which, first off, it's crazy to think about, because we had 16,000 people there, and the arena's not big enough. It's crazy to think about. But he was just saying, like, you know, once this new, bigger arena gets built, how cool would it be? Like, you know, not only you guys come, we're going to have 30,000 people come, and how would you feel seeing your family coming and worshiping? And when he said that, I just, like, that just hit me different, because, you know, with my sister and with my family, it was mind-boggling to me. And so I started just praying to myself. Just getting teary-eyed. And I started praying. I was like, God, I can't do this on my own. I've been trying for so long on my own to try and get them to come to church, and it's not working. I can't do it. Just let me know that I'm not alone, that I have help. And just as I was praying that, Josh, he was standing right next to me, he just reaches over, puts his hand on my shoulder, And it really hit me, like, right then. You know, like, I'm not alone. I have friends help me through this. So, Josh, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you and our friendship. And after Josh did that, I think it was Ashton. He reached up and grabbed my shoulder, too. I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship as well. Thank you. So that really just hit me. Like, I'm not alone. He moves the mountains, and he's going to do it again. I fully believe that. I fully believe that. Okay, I think that was everything. Thank you, guys.
I think we can all agree with Sam on that part, that we all have family members that we're believing in faith to see God moving, and we're believing to have them sitting right here beside us and not just praising Jesus with y'all, but to have the people you've been longing for, the people you've been crying out to God for. We're believing in faith, and we're standing with Sam in faith to see your family serving God with you. And so just thank you for that. I'm glad that God just laid that on your heart just to re-energize you. Y'all, this next fella finna come up, Mr. Jensen. I really didn't know him until this weekend, but when you lock yourself in a room and are sleeping on chairs and floors with somebody, you really get to know him. And you've blessed me just getting to know you, man, just getting to hear your story. And I'm honored to get to know you, and I'm excited about what you have for everybody today. And y'all are in for a treat. Y'all help me welcome Mr. Jensen up to the stage.
Morning, y'all. In the 5 hours of sleep and I guess the little other time I had to think about what I was going to say, God really spoke to me. And I know that I struggle a lot with anxiety, so being up here in front of y'all is just like a nightmare. But anyway, motion was a life-changing event for me, because I know that it's one of those things that you have to put everything in to get something out of it. And I went and I just laid down my life and just laid down all my burdens, all my problems for Jesus, and he changed my life, and it was wonderful. I know that recently I've had a lot of problems with friendships, and that was one of the big messages this year is check your circle. And it's that you want to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people, with godly people. And before emotion, I'll go ahead and tell you guys that I was not doing that. I was being influenced by a lot of my friends, and yeah, it was pretty bad. But I went into motion with an open heart, and I made so many new friends, and it's just, it was great. So, yeah. So another thing is, when I went to motion, another thing that really spoke to me is just looking around the arena and just seeing 16,000 other people going exactly through what I was going through, and just, it just really spoke to me, and I just laid everything down for Jesus. And the small groups were amazing. I met so many new people, and I really just shared my story with them, and it was great, again, just to have people around your age that that can understand what you're going through and just, you know, vibe with you. It's amazing. So, let's see, what else do I want to talk about?
You'll be all right.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
The first night we was there, the praise and worship starts, and I like looking around, I like watching the kids, that's my thing, and I'm watching, and Jensen is just going all in, like, he ain't holding nothing back, he's giving God everything. Anyways, when it was over, I said, Jensen, what you think, man? He said, dog, I can feel his presence. I'm like, what more could you ask for? That's what, it's all about setting up that moment, and that's what motion is so great about, the atmosphere that, the worship leaders, I mean, they bring just... It's right there. You can feel the tangible presence of God. It's not just a butterfly feeling. I mean, you can feel the presence of Almighty God in the room. And just watching people, maybe for the first time, I don't know if you ever felt that before, but just watching people just experience it. This is God. God is all over me. And Jensen, I enjoy watching you praise. I spent more time watching you get down with it than I did praising myself. But y'all, this next person there, we got Mr. Riley Casey going to come up. And he gonna share with us what God showed him this weekend. And once again, y'all are in for a treat. Y'all enjoying this so far, church? Y'all liking this? I like to see God move in people's lives, but especially young people. When you see young people get fired up, that gets y'all's older folks fired up too, you know. So come on with it, man.
We're nervous. I'm nervous. What really hit me at Motion is Friday night. It was Pastor Chris Hodges. He was... Okay, I'm nervous. He was talking about depression and everybody, most of our generation, feeling like they need to kill themselves to get away from all their problems. And I've been struggling with that a lot, and addiction. He kept on saying, I knew he was going to say, raise your hand, and he's going to not tell nobody about their heads or nothing. And he said, be bold and raise your hand if you're having problems with thinking about killing yourself. And it was crazy when I raised my hand and I looked around at our group and there's more people that are dealing with that. And it's crazy that to know you're so close with somebody, but you don't know that they're going through the same thing you're going through. And I've been dealing with drugs a lot. One night, I was at a friend's house. We was all passing around some blunts, and we were smoking. And they pulled out some pills. And that's when it really hit me that I need to get away from it. And I was listening to a song on the way home by Lecrae, and it said, I tried getting high, but it left me low. And it really hit me when we was all praising, and I felt a high that I've never felt with any drug that I've done. Amen. And nobody needs a drug to, if you're feeling low, you don't need that. You need Jesus. Real nervous, because I ain't never opened up like this. And we were all sitting in the hotel room when it was the Friday night. And everybody was opening up about their feelings, about how they were depressed. And we were all crying together. And it just showed that people care. And last year at Motion, I always thought, like, since I've been going, maybe they're just playing a game. Like, maybe they don't really care. Maybe they're just trying to boost up their name. And when he told us to raise his hand, and he saw everybody around the arena raising their hand about wanting to kill himself, he started crying, and it showed me that, like, people don't know you, but they care. It's just crazy. That's all I really gotta say. I'm nervous. So.
Hey, y'all, we got one last fella. Hey, y'all on for a treat real quick. He told us last night that he wanted to speak, he wanted to share. And he told us a bunch of stuff on that bus last night. Some of it about Jesus, and some of it wasn't. Some of it about killing whales and whatnot. But Thomas. Hey, go ahead and come here. Y'all know Thomas. Everybody in church know Thomas. Come on. Come on. Tell us what God did for you at Motion.
So I have a Bible, but I'm not going to preach, just to let you know that. But Motion was like, I needed Motion at this time in my life. Oh, I'm about to cry. And worship was good. Worship was, it was just phenomenal that I couldn't cry. Do anybody remember that when you was getting a whooping and it hurt so bad you couldn't even cry? That's to me, that's just how Motion was. And a lot I've learned through the word. And for Motion, I was asking God, because normally God will talk to me or give me a feeling. And I'm like, God, tell me what you're doing with Mom. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you want me to do. And I think it was Chris Hodges who said it. He said that he read the scripture that said, be still and know that I'm God. And for me, that changed me. It's because I always try to be a know-it-all. No. I always try to be right. I read the Bible so I can not debate with people, but when something comes up, I can be able to back it up. And my thing is, and he also talked about being able to check the interior. I'm probably saying it wrong. It said the exterior, because with me, I know how to come to church. I know how to put on these fancy shoes. I know how to smile. I know how to pray. I know when to give tithe. But if you're coming to church and your heart is breaking, that you're thinking that your life not worth anything, what you coming to church for? Because church is the place for broken people. It's for people who are messed up. And a lot of times we get it twisted. We think that we have to impress God. But one thing I realized this weekend is that God see me when I'm in the shower. Of course, he's going to see me in church. He know when I act, how I act when I'm outside of church. He's going to know how I act when I'm inside of church. So it's no fronting with God. And I feel like a lot of times we don't really understand who God is. Whether God breathed life or whether wherever the storm take us, we have to understand. And Chris Hodges said the very plainest thing, that God is God. You can't bargain with God. You can't debate with God. You can't negotiate with God, because he's God. And the thing this year was, I had it marked, but it was Ephesians 3:20. And if I could find it, that would be awesome. But it says, I'm just going to try to memorize it by heart. Mr. Mayo, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But it said, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, what else? Something and above. And a lot of times as Christians, as for me, I'm not going to say Christians because not everybody thinks this sometimes. I don't give God the credit he's due. I'm like, I know there's a God, but is a God really going to raise up a woman who's sick? And the doctor's saying it's just staying the same and not getting well. But when he said that God is able to do what we don't even think about, he's able to do the impossible. And I'm glad I don't serve a God who's just an a God who pleases people, but a God who take you places that you never want to go. And this year at Motion, I've learned to open up to people. A lot of times this youth group, I shut myself away. And to be honest with you, sometimes I shut myself away because most of y'all got dogs and I don't fool with dogs. But sometimes I shut myself away because I feel as if I don't want people to see me vulnerable or desperate or my heart breaking. But like Megan and Riley said, when we got in the room at the hotel, I was asking God, God speak to me, tell me something. And when I hugged Megan after I called her a loudmouth heifer, after that, when I hugged Megan, I had this feeling to come over me, and it said, I'm God. I don't have to tell you not one thing I do. You just trust me and acknowledge me, and I should direct your paths. And I see a lot of times I'm trying to learn that Thomas has to get out of the way. Thomas can't do what God can. Thomas is nowhere near God. I am imperfect. Sometimes I come to church dressed like this just to forget about what I did Saturday, just to make not my appearance look good, but to feel good by myself. Sometimes I feel as if we can give tithe knowing that we did something wrong, or it's like the devil tries to play like a guilt game. And that's what it was with me a lot of times, is that every time I try to do right, every time I try to say something, every time I try to obey my grandparents, which is hard, which is very hard. We have a lot of rules in our house. Don't leave the light on. Turn your TV off. When it's 9 o'clock, turn the TV off. But it's a lot of things that I do that I know is wrong, but I can't fix it. Or I can fix it, or I choose not to fix it. I would say that. And motion, I've learned that if you really, really love God, then you're able to sacrifice everything, whether it's your friends, whether it's your old lifestyle, whether it, even some family members you have to separate yourself from. And I've really learned that God is God. He created us, and he knows all the plans he has for us. He knows what the end is going to bring. And I believe deep down in my soul that God is going to do something amazing in this church. In this church.
Thomas is a real preacher in the youth group. I'm going to say a couple quick things real quick. Yo, this trip, it's funny to me how you can sit in an arena with all those people and God speaks something different to each and every single one of us. If you don't think we have a personal God, that's just living proof right there. And all throughout motion, not just our group, every person that went could tell a story, but every person that was in that room could tell exactly where they were, what God showed them. You know, he's personal. It's not about the big number. He don't count by hundreds or thousands. He counts by one, and it's all about the one. And this weekend, I'm so glad that he wasn't hanging out with the 99 sheep. He was finding the ones in the crowd, and he was showing them things. And just a quick little praise report. When we got there, I'm going to tell the hotel story real quick. It was chaos. Birmingham is like all the hotels are sold out. There's people everywhere. It's a busy time that year, or of the year. Well, we get to the hotel, walking there, we got the paperwork. It's a contract for 14 hotel rooms. We hand it to them, and they put my name in the system, and nothing's coming up. I'm like, well, that's not right. Here's the contract. You know, what's going on? And they said, well, your name's not in the system. So I get on the phone with Pastor Clinton. He's talking to the manager and all that. Well, anyways, there was a miscommunication there where we had it under contract. Well, as of July 5th, all the rooms got sold. So you got 50 people down there, no hotel rooms to stay in. And everything's packed out. Everything's booked up. So Pastor Clint talked with the manager. The manager got on the phone. She called her sister hotel, whatever. And she told us, she said, all right, now this is what happened. I found y'all rooms because we were scared we were going to get busted up. Some of us going to be in one church. Some of us is going to be in another church. What's going to happen? So anyways, she said, I found y'all 14 rooms. Now you're not going to be on the same floor. You're going to be spread out. But this is our sister church. And it's actually a luxury church. Hotel. She says, I'm sorry. It was church. We was in the building. But anyways, it was the luxury hotel, and she says, I'm telling you, y'all probably ain't going to come back here to our hotel once you go to this one. But then when you see the price of the rooms, we're definitely going back to the old hotel. But we get there, and me and the fella from Macon from Central City, Rhett, we're sitting there talking, and we're checking in and everything. And this place is like luxury. It's an old bank converted into a motel. It's like marble walls. It's luxury, way too much for us. And I'm sitting there looking at it. And Rhett says, man, this is the kind of place you see, like Levi Lusco sitting in the lobby drinking coffee. He's one of the pastors that spoke. And I said, yeah, like you'd see Rich Wilkerson come walking by. Y'all, lo and behold, I say it, the elevator doors open, and here comes Rich Wilkerson walking out. And I was like, holy cow. So not only did God just kind of flip the script and put us in a different place, we stayed where the speakers were. We got to meet the speakers. We got to meet Rich, Levi, Hillsong. So it's like just no matter what situation you're in, it's even something as small as that, which it was a big deal at the time, but looking back, it's just a hotel room. But something as small as that, God can just work in ways that you never saw. We went from panicking, what are we going to do? And while Clint was on the phone, I'm praying, God, give us favor. Give us favor, give us favor, give us favor. So not only did we get more rooms, we got to go hang out with the celebrities of the trip. And you get to just sit and talk with them and realize how down to earth they are. And oh, that was just really cool to me. But God just had his hand in everything. And that Friday night, we were sitting in that room. And I knew that a couple of the kids had raised their hand when the guy asked about suicide and depression and stuff like that. And we got in that room and people started talking. There was people that was telling us about it that hadn't even raised their hand yet, y'all. We took 24 kids up there. Leaders, students, and all, 24 kids. And 9 of those 24 struggle with suicidal thoughts. Y'all, that's a serious issue. And I'm sure it's not just in this youth group. I'm sure there's people in this church that are struggling through that had those thoughts cross their mind. Y'all, that is a lie from the devil. And every one of them tell the same thing. They feel worthless. They feel like nobody wants them. They feel neglected. They feel rejected. And the thing is, you feel that shame come on you when you have that feeling, and you don't want people to know your business. You don't want people to look down on you. You don't want them to think less of you. And all that does is keep pushing you further and further away from the God's putting people in your life, trying to pull you out, trying to draw you out, pull you to the light. And the devil just keeps putting that shame on. And you get a little bit further from the light. And you get a little bit further from the light. And he's going to try his best to keep you from that light. So I just want to encourage you. This youth group, I believe every one of them has been delivered this weekend from those suicidal thoughts. But the people in the church that are going through that, that is a serious issue. Don't just sit and try to hide it. Don't try to just put on a game face when you walk through those doors. If you're a hot mess outside, be a hot mess in here. There's no reason in putting on the mask to come into church. I just wanted to leave y'all with that thought. If you're going through something, don't hide it. Find somebody. Check your circle. Get with a group of people that's going to not just tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. That'll straighten your butt up when you need it. That when you're screwing up, they're going to call you out. They're going to hold you accountable. They're going to love you through the hard times. They're going to praise with you through the good times. And that's all I got to say. Pastor Clint, you want to close that?
Thank you, Cam, for you and Jim pouring into the kids. I think what we're seeing is go ahead and give them a hand. I want 2 minutes, and I want to encourage all of you who went with something. Can you throw up that scripture for me? This is out of the book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers is talking about the people of Israel, and this is how they followed God. The Bible says that they set up the tabernacle because they had to take it down and move it every time God moves. And it said they followed a cloud by day, and they followed a fire by night. And look what it says in verse 16. It says, this was the regular what? Come on, say it with me. This was the regular pattern. I'm going to tell you, what God did for you guys this weekend is he changed your pattern. Don't go back to the pattern. These conferences are notorious for what we call the camp high. They go to a conference, you go to camp, and you come back, and you're good for a couple weeks. School starts for the high schoolers next week, and a few weeks after that, the college. And even for the adults, we have this camp high. Some of you may have a Sunday high. We're fired up Sunday, and Monday morning hits, and you're right back where you started, into the old patterns. I'm going to ask you to just begin to follow this new pattern. Follow God when it's daylight. Follow the cloud. Follow God when it's dark, and all you can see is that light in front of you, when you can't see anything else. Follow the fire, the light of God, when somebody's telling you you're not worth it. Follow when the old ways begin to pop back up, when the old friends try to come and pull you away from the new godly friends. Because what I don't want is the old patterns to come back. And if you look through and read through the Old Testament and the children of God, they didn't do that. They kept going back to the old patterns. And they walked in circles and wasted 40 years and thousands and thousands of people died because they wouldn't change their pattern. And I think you guys encountered God. That it's amazing that it amazes me too that in the room of 16,000 people, God can put his finger down on Riley. God can put his finger down on Ashton, on Jensen. On all you guys, even the adults who told me you felt like God just singled you out, because I think he changed the patterns in your life and inserted a new way to go and a new way of living in your lives. So I want to encourage you guys with you adults, if y'all just bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. Today my prayer is that God begin to change your patterns. That the same encounter that you heard and from the students and the people that spoke today, that begins to, that same power invades your life. And today, Father God, we put aside our patterns and the way we think we should do things. And we do what Thomas said, God, and we just let you be God. We're done bargaining. We're done begging. That God, you've already given us everything. You've given us your Son. And Father, my prayer, my faith today is for those who need to change their patterns, their habits. Father God, today it's done. And I thank you for it now. Now, with your eyes closed, your head bowed, if you would say, hey, I need to have what those kids have. I need to meet Jesus and encounter him the way they did. Even if you're watching online, in the room, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to run you up here. I'm just going to pray a quick prayer with you, because it's that easy to have the same joy and the same freedom that you heard about from these kids. You can have it too, right where you sit. If that's you, just wave at me real quick. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's making fun of you. There's a couple going up. All right, then why don't we all in the room, and if you're online, pray it with me too. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, today I receive you, your grace, your mercy, your power, and your forgiveness in my life. Today, God, I change my pattern. I'm going to allow you to be God over my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.